Well, praise the Lord. Wasn't that better than computer? Praise God. Hallelujah. I like seeing bodies in seats. Praise His name forevermore. We are blessed, aren't we? Man, we're going to do some great things for Him. We're going to receive some great things. And before we start and get into things, I have to make a little special announcement. Someone is here that is dear to my heart from my past. Justin, wave your hand. Justin, that's Justin. And Justin used to be in my youth group. Justin has stories that are never allowed to be told. So no bribe money towards him. Whatever they'll pay, I'll pay you more. Just keep it to yourself, sir. But Justin, so glad you're here. So glad all of you are here. Praise God. I'll tell you what, it's good to be back in the house of God. You know, the Lord wants us together. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake this. Why? Because things happen in this environment. Impartations happen, revelations. Just things get delivered in a transaction that you can't get over a computer. You can't get from a TV screen. And so it's so good to see all your faces. My goodness, I feel like a little kid on Christmas morning. Hallelujah. But I better get a grip here. Better get a grip. We got a message to preach. So go with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. If you don't have your Bible, we have the Bible up on the screen for you. But we have now Bibles for people to use that we'll have out that the, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell, but the Mirzwas, I'm going to tell on them. They blessed the church with Bibles. And so we'll have Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we'll make sure to give you a Bible. If you need the Bible to use ever, we'll have them out in the front for you. But for now, we have it up on the screen. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And of course, if you haven't been following along, I want to fill you in. We are in a series right now called The Leading of God. And today is part 4, so I want to first encourage you, if you have not been following along and don't know what this series is about, what we've been talking about, I encourage you, get online and listen to these, because a series like this, it's like when you preach a series like this for people, they're at a Y in the road, a fork in the road, where you have a chance for your whole world to be changed from a series like this. How do I know? I have been a recipient of that, but also so many people that I've had the privilege of pastoring have taken the leading of God and learning it and doing it seriously, and it's spared them from things. It's got them into things that they otherwise couldn't have got into. So catch up on the service. We will do a small review and go forward in what He has for us today. But let's pray and let's believe God for utterance this morning. You don't need to hear from me, you need to hear from heaven. So Father, we praise You. We glorify You this morning. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your kindness. Father, thank You for the help of the Holy Ghost. Thank You for the help of Your written word. Father, as I open my mouth, I ask that You do fill it with words from heaven. Father, just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And Father, what I mean by that is, Lord, I don't want to speak from my head. I don't want to speak from my experiences. I want to speak from what heaven wants said today. So Lord, I thank You that I'll speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And what's going to happen, Father, is things are going to come out of my mouth that are going to hit bullseyes in every person's heart, and it's going to be specific and pertinent to the circumstances and the season and the situation of life that they're going through right now. And Father, I don't know what people need to hear. I don't know what needs to be said that will bless people, that will help them to get them over the mountain that they're in, Father, but I know that You do. So, Father, I thank You that when it happens, they'll recognize that was supernatural, and Father, they'll understand that You love them, that You care for them, but that this is a safe place where they can come and hear from heaven concerning their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 is kind of our foundational text for this series. And I love these verses because these verses tell us so much. These verses are an opportunity for your life to be changed. Amen? That's what these verses are. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. And I really hammered on this verse in the first service, but I'll just mention this. Not the first service today, but the first one in this series, is He says, in all your ways acknowledge Me. I love that. It just tells me how sweet my Heavenly Father is. There's nothing in your life that disinterests Him. He's interested in it all. He wants to be a part of it all. He wants you to come to him about everything. That's what all your ways mean. In raising your parent, in raising your children, raising your children, in parenting, in your business, in your finances, in things going on in your body, things going on in your life, in situations and circumstances. God says, bring them to me, praise God. And he says, what I'll do with you is I'll direct your paths. That means if you're going the wrong way, he says, I'll direct it to the right way. And you say, why would we want that? Why would we want God to direct our paths? Well, we saw something about God in that first service, that he's all-knowing, the Bible says. He's infinite in wisdom and knowledge. Nothing catches him off guard. He's not surprised about anything. He doesn't all of a sudden wake up when you're going through a problem and say, oh, darn, I didn't see that coming. He knows everything. The Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega. What's that mean? He's the beginning and the end. He's already been to your future and back. He knows the pitfalls that are ahead for you. He knows the decisions you shouldn't make. He knows the things that you need to do to get you onto the right path. That's why we want him to lead us. And the best part is this all-knowing, future-telling, beginning and end God, infinite in wisdom, is your heavenly Father and loves you and desires to see the paths that you on be successful, be full of blessing, be full of good things. Amen? So it does us good to let him direct our paths. Hallelujah. But God does it a certain way. Religion will teach you that you just wake up and whatever will be, que sera, sera, you know, that you don't have anything to do with it, that it just whatever will be is God's plan, whatever won't be is not God's plan. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Religion teaches us that. Why? Because religion is motivated by the enemy. And what that does for people, if it takes you out of the equation and it puts just whatever God wants to do, it gets you to just sit on your hands and not do the right thing. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge me, I'll direct your paths. Well, how is he going to direct our paths? That's what we're learning, the leading, to be guided, directed. Well, Romans 8:14 is our answer. Romans 8:14. Hallelujah. You do realize the problems that you're in and facing, the struggles that have been there for years, the things that the calendar strikes a new year and still got that, still got that. Still, you do know God knows how to get you out of that. You do know that God has the answer to that. You do know that God's not stumped by that. God has help for you, praise God. Hallelujah. But you got to do it his way. And it says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led, that's led, guided, directed. Remember he said, I'll direct your paths. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So how's God doing it? He's not trying to get you out of your financial mess talking to your head. He's not trying to get you out of your situation. Man, I don't know why my healing's been hindered. I believe in healing, but my healing's been hindered. He's not speaking to your flesh on how to get free from that. He says, I'm going to lead you and guide you and direct you by the Spirit of God. Now, I don't mean to say this to be mean or to put a blanket statement out there to be sensational. It's the truth. Most people in the body of Christ, I'm talking about Christians, most Christians know nothing about being led by the Holy Ghost. How do I know? I grew up in places where they didn't know anything, and they loved the Lord. They were born again, they're going to heaven, but they had no idea how to be led of him, had no idea how to hear the voice of God. And so their whole life is spent living out of their mind, living out of the opinions of man, living out of what their eyeballs tell them is right, living out of what their feelings and emotions tell them what to do. And God the whole time is sitting there saying, I'm not in any of that. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you miss out on what he has for you. But how does he do it? Well, Romans 8:16 tells us. It says the Spirit himself, should say himself, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost himself, notice this, bears witness or testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God. So how does God lead us by the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God testifies or bears witness not to our brains, not to our flesh, but to our spirits, right? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit, which we looked at early in this series. You are a spirit being. Amen. Remember over there in John 16, well, in John 14 through 16, Jesus talks a lot about the Holy Ghost. One of the things he talks about the Holy Ghost is about people that are born again, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will dwell on the inside of the Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Christian, you got God in you. Hallelujah. Most Christians have no idea about that. Now, they certainly don't have that revelation with the way they're living and lack and defeat and no authority. I mean, you got God in you. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost indwells, but then it says about the Holy Spirit, it says he will not speak of himself. Whatsoever he hears, he'll declare unto us. Well, how's he declaring unto us? He's bearing witness with our spirit. Well, what's he hearing? He's hearing our answers from the one that wants to guide and direct us. So the Holy Ghost gets the answers from heaven, John 16 tells us, and he declares them to us. How does he declare them to us? By bearing witness with our spirit. He testifies to our spirit. In Proverbs 20 and verse 27, it really brings it to light how God does this, how God guides and how God directs. Go to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Praise his name forevermore. Hallelujah. Proverbs 20 and verse 27 says, the spirit of man. There it is. You're a spirit, right? Remember, the Holy Ghost is bearing witness with your spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And there's two parts to this verse you need to know. Number one, it's a candle. Well, nowadays we'd say lamp or light bulb or flashlight. Well, what does a lamp, a candle, a light bulb, or a flashlight do? It directs you. It guides you so you don't stumble. It keeps you from tripping up. Keeps you from running into the wrong things. Helps guide and so you can see where to go, right? Well, he says the spirit of man is the lamp or the light of the Lord. What's that mean? He enlightens us through our spirit. Well, how does he do that? Remember, the Holy Ghost hears, the Holy Ghost testifies, but not to our mind, not to our ears, not to our flesh, but he testifies to our spirit. And then when our spirit hears what the Holy Ghost is saying, our spirit then is used as a lamp or a light. Because then we have the information from God, praise the Lord. But then it says, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That tells you where your spirit man's located, where the interaction of information is being, where the transaction is taking place. It's not, the spirit of man is not in the head. People led in their mental arena and in their emotions and by opinions, that's not how God's doing things. And that's why people stay stuck over and over again. Because they're constantly led by their mind. They're constantly led by their checkbook. They're constantly led by opinions. They're constantly led by what they feel. And God's not in any of that. And he's watching people make decisions based on that. And he's saying, I'm not in that. And I said this in the last service, and it's true. It's harsh. It's harsh to hear it, but it's the truth. We see it over and over in the Word. God will let you have whatever kind of life you want. Oh, yeah. If you want to be sick your whole life, God will let you. He doesn't want it for you, but he'll let you. If you want to make wrong decisions and live in wrong decisions your whole life, God will let you. If you want to be broke and stay in poverty as a child of the King, as God, as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, with Jehovah Jireh as your Father, the Lord that provides, and you want to live in poverty your whole life, God will let you do it. He lets you choose. What does it say over there in Deuteronomy? This day before I've set before you blessing and cursing, life and death, choose life. He's not going to make the choice for you. He puts it out there and tells you which way to go. But so many people, they're following their head, and the information that's coming from heaven is in the spirit. That's why we better learn to be led by God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you today about the increase that comes from being spirit-led. And what this should do is motivate you to get out of your head, get out of your flesh, and get into your heart. Because there is increase that is associated with following the Spirit of God. Psalms 115 in verse 14. Psalms 115 in verse 14. Talking about increase here. And I know when we hear the word increase at first, we automatically think financial. Well, that's part of it. But there's other increase that we need as well. God looks to increase you. And the way you do that is by following him, which is following the Holy Ghost. You know why a lot of people don't experience increase? They're trying to get it other ways. His blessing is found in the transaction right in here. Right in here. And through his word, of course. Psalms 115. And by the way, what's in here and what's in here will not contradict themselves. Amen. The word is the foundation. Psalms 115, verse 14, it says, the Lord shall. Everybody say, the Lord shall. Why am I having to repeat that? Because I need you to know it's Him that's doing it. It's Him that wants to do it. It's His idea. It's His will. That's what His word is. The Lord shall increase you. Praise God. More and more, and bless your children. God's desire for your life, not just financially, in all arenas and avenues of life, is to increase you in your marriage, as a parent with your children, in your business, in your job, in your body, in your mind, in your emotions. In every arena of life, God desires to increase you. How much? More and more. You and your children. Now, what kind of increase are we talking here? Because there's lots of different things. Well, thankfully, the Bible tells us, if you go backwards to Psalms 35 and verse 27, Psalms 35 and verse 27, what are we talking about today? The increase that comes from obeying the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Psalms 35, 27, look at what this verse says. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yeah, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Now notice this, which has pleasure. Everybody say pleasure.
Pleasure.
Pleasure. Make sure you know that's the word. Because religion will tell you that God wants it a different way. But He tells you in the word, I take pleasure. Pleasure's a good feeling. Amen? It's a pleasurable experience. It's not something dreary and down and hurtful and hard. It's good. When I think pleasure, I think good. Right? The Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. God is not upset when His people walk into prosperity. God is pleasured when we walk into prosperity. It brings Him pleasure. It brings Him joy. It brings Him delight. Amen. You know what would really help you? If you started seeing God as a Father and not just God. Let me tell you what I mean. Now, if you had a bad relationship with your dad, some people do, you know, you have to renew your mind to who God is. But you could use me as an example. I'm a good dad. I'm not perfect, but I'm a good dad. I love my kids. I take care of my kids. You're good parents, right? It's okay to say we're good parents in the fact that, not perfect, but we love our children. We do the best we can for them, right? We protect them any way we can. We provide for them any way we can. Hallelujah. Well, my children, I don't desire them to be in lack, to be in torment emotionally and physically. I desire and take pleasure when my kids are blessed. Caleb just celebrated his 10th birthday. And this, you know, it goes in line with when we started this church, you know. He got a pellet pistol from his grandpa Scott. And I got him a bunch of hunting things. And I just hate to say, I'm sorry for you animal lovers, but the chipmunks are on the run. Aren't they? They're on the run. I mean, no, I'm just on live stream, all you chipmunks, pack up and move away from Lakewood because the Punisher is out to get you. I'm telling you, he's got his pellet pistol now, and watch out, chipmunks. And so, anyways, I knew how thrilled he was going to be when he opened that present because he had been using his grandpa's. And so I had a video recording him and the delight and the joy on his face when he opened that present. That didn't bring me discouragement. That brought me pleasure. And the Bible says God is a better daddy than I am. Hallelujah. And look what it says. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. But I want you to know something that will help you. The Bible was not written in English. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And the Greek and the Hebrew language are far more complex than the English language. Deeper meanings, things like that. That's why you have Greek concordances, amplified Bibles that amplified the original meaning. That word prosperity, because our minds, at least my mind initially goes to money. When I hear prosperity, initially it goes to money. And I think for a lot of people that would probably be the case. But the word prosperity, listen, yes, keep amen to me back there. I love, she's on fire back there. Oh, I'm so glad they're here. Praise God. Hallelujah. So prosperity means this. Welfare, health, prosperity financially, peace, favor, rest, and safety. Does anybody want a little bit of any of that? Let me read it again. What God looks down and says, I'm happy when my kids are walking in welfare, health, financial prosperity, peace, favor, rest, and safety. So it's not just money, because how many of you know money is not the ultimate happiness factor? We've seen people with all the money in the world on TV and the news, and their bodies are a mess, their minds are a mess, they're addicted to things, their relationships are a mess, they're in turmoil, and they have all the money in the world. So money is not the ultimate be-all, end-all of prosperity. In fact, if I had all the money in the world, but my children are going to be sick, I'll trade all the money in the world for their health. I'd trade all the money in the world for my children's well-being and their mind, for their safety. So actually, if you really get down to it, money is so low compared to other things of prosperity. Even though I know some of you are thinking, I'll take some of that money that you don't want, Pastor Mike. Send it my way. I know what you're thinking. But you know what I'm saying. Money's not the be-all, end-all. It is part of it. But God wants to increase you in all areas. So I want to stress to you, first and foremost, if you're here this morning and you need increase, you need rest. Your safety's being threatened. You need joy. You need peace. You're in turmoil. You need financial prosperity. You need health in your body. The Father wants to bring you into those things. Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you something specific that the Lord has put on my heart for this service. But remember, it encapsulates all of these other things. So if you don't need what we're talking about specifically today, you can just translate that over into what you need, because God desires it for you. And the way you're going to walk into that is the same way you're going to walk into what I'm going to talk about right now. But go with me to Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Aren't you glad you're here? The word is good. Praise God. Proverbs 10:22. Now, the way that the Spirit of God has me directing the attention to this service is through the increase financially. And again, all these other things are included and at times really show us are more important, but this is the way the Holy Ghost is directing me. So I want to show you the increase financially that can come from following the Spirit of God. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord. You could also put the words in there, the blessing from the Lord. Because the blessing of the Lord ultimately comes from Him, right? It's having His blessing on your life, which would mean that's something He wants to do that comes from Him. Well, look what the blessing of the Lord does. The blessing of the Lord, when you have the blessing of the Lord on your life, when you have the blessing of the Lord operating in your life, look at what it says. Now, remember, the blessing's from Him. It says, it maketh something. Something is transformed and made into something. It maketh rich. Amen. And addeth no sorrow with it. Now, I know a lot of people get tripped up when they hear the word rich in church, and I'm going to, talk about what that word means and tell you what it biblically means, because rich does not mean Bill Gates rich. Rich does not mean President Trump type wealth. That's not what the Lord is saying, and I'll get to that in a second. But notice He said, the blessing, when my blessing's on it. Now remember, how do we hear from heaven? The following of the Spirit, guiding Him, going on His paths. His paths are where the blessing is. It says when you do that, the blessing associated with it will increase you and make you rich. Amen. This word rich here is not talking about spiritually rich. Yeah. In the Bible, you can go to your Greek, Hebrew concordance. It's not talking about you'll be spiritually rich. That's what religion will want to make it sound like. But no, it's talking about. Now, here's the thing, talking about financial riches. If you go back and look at the children of Israel in the covenant that they had with God, and you look over in Deuteronomy 28, and it talked about the blessing and the cursings. Do you know what He said about them? He said, you will not borrow, but you'll be the lender. You'll lend to many nations. He said, you'll be the head, not the tail. You go back and look at Deuteronomy 28 in the covenant with the Old Testament people, and how many of the blessings included financial prosperity and well-being in that arena. Amen? That's why when the blessing was on them, it translated into them being rich. Now, I want to tell you something that Brother Hagin said, or Kenneth Hagin. Now, for those of you that don't know who Kenneth Hagin is, He is what I call my spiritual great grandpa in the faith. He passed away in 2004, started Rhema Bible Church and Rhema Bible Training Center in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And many of the ministers that come to our churches, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Scott Webb, Reverend Greer, the Durants, Reverend Alam, all these high caliber ministers that we look up to and wow, we've received so much from, were his spiritual sons and daughters in the faith. And one reason, how many of you know this? We don't follow the man, we follow the message. It doesn't matter what the man says. If the man or the woman doesn't have the message, who cares what they say? Your pastor says that, right? If I don't preach the word, run for the hills. We're here to hear from heaven. But what made Brother Hagin so safe and easy to follow was how safe he was. He stuck with the word, praise God. And Brother Hagin, when he would have revelations or visions, which we see in the word in the last days, Acts chapter 2 talks about visions, dreams, and revelations, that he always would say, doesn't matter what revelation, what dream, what vision you think you had, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, throw it away, right? And Brother Hagin never steered outside the word of God. It was his boundary. It was the safe place that kept us all safe. And when people start getting in trouble is when they start venturing outside the boundaries of the Bible. But why I say all that is to say this, and one of the visitations that Jesus had with Brother Hagin in teaching him and helping us, we've got so much revelation from the revelation that Brother Hagin received from Jesus. The Lord told him this. He said, if you'll learn to follow my spirit, I will make you rich. Now, does that line up with the Bible? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. But how does God do things? By the leading of the Holy Ghost. So that revelation that he got is Bible, and I just want to throw this in there because it's worth noting. Jesus went on to say, I'm not against my people being rich. I'm against my people being covetous. That's right. Amen. That's what he said. He doesn't have a problem with you having money. He has a problem when money has you. Amen? Amen. In fact, that word rich, now let's qualify that word rich because it's a stumbling block for some people, even though the Bible clearly uses it. The word rich in the Bible means abundantly supplied. Amen. It means richly supplied. It doesn't mean 24 yachts, 16 vacation homes, right? Your own private island. If you happen on those things, wonderful, can I have a week there? I would like a week at your private island. I hope that you stumble in on that. But that's not what the rich is talking about. It's talking about abundantly supplied. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10, it defines richness. It says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you have sufficiency in all things. What's he saying? First and foremost, your needs are met, but then you'll have enough left over to give into every good work. Praise God. So that word rich, don't let it trip you up. It means abundantly supplied. Remember 2 Corinthians 8, 9? For you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Jesus went through what he went through so you could walk into richness. And again, you look up that word rich in the Greek, it means abundantly supplied. So Brother Hagin was told by the Lord, if you follow my spirit, I'll make you rich, abundantly supplied. And he proved that out. Now, how does God do the blessing of the Lord make you rich? By following the Holy Ghost. Now, what I want to say to you here then, financial problems, problems in your bills, problems in your business, God is not stumped. We already know his desire is prosperity. Nowhere in there does he say, I take pleasure when you struggle. In fact, what did he say in Philippians 4:19? My desire is to meet how many of your needs? All your needs. So we already know his will on it, and his desire is what? That you're blessed. So he's up in heaven, looking at you, needing whatever you need, not stumped by the problem, not wanting you to be there, but also knowing the exact answer to get you out. But how is he going to get you into the prosperity or the increase or the gain that you need? By the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'm sorry to say again, to not be sensational, the majority of Christians have no idea what it means to follow the Holy Ghost. I mean, because first of all, the Holy Ghost isn't allowed in most churches. They don't talk about the Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, but leave that Holy Spirit stuff. No, 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 that's too weird. No, no. The Holy Ghost is the third part of the Godhead that's still on the earth with us. Hallelujah. God's on the throne, Jesus is on the throne, and the Holy Ghost got stuck with us. Maybe we ought to pray for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know what I'm like, and he's stuck with me. I went, Father, help the Holy Ghost, would you? He needs help. Praise God. But I want to show you here through different stories that the Holy Spirit has led me to share with you about how when God's blessing, when you follow God, it leads to increase. Now, I could show you many stories in the Bible and tell you just references. You look at Job's life. The devil took from Job. Who increased Job? God did at the end. The woman in 1 Kings 17, when she was down to one meal, God sent her a prophet. And God gave the prophet some instructions, and God guided her out of her poverty into prosperity. In 2 Kings chapter 4, when the woman was in debt and was going to lose her sons, right? God sent a prophet by the name of Elisha who came in, praise God, turned that situation around. God guided her into prosperity. What about in Luke 5 when they went fishing all night? Didn't catch anything. Bad night of work when you don't make any money and you worked all night. And Jesus stepped in by the leading of God, and what? Their boat was full of fish to go sell at the market. God leads and guides that way. And the way he's doing it for us in the New Testament is through the Holy Ghost. So I want to share a couple things. And before I get into the increase, one thing that people need to stop doing, hallelujah, is getting in your own way. Many people struggle financially and have lack because they just make wrong decisions. They do things wrong, amen? It's true. It's true. You know, people, they'll get involved in a financial transaction that they never sought God on. They get in over their head on something, and they're just giving out, giving out, giving out. And there's no prosperity there. How can there be? It's constantly, right? Or, you know, you get involved in a business, and you're in a business that God never told you to be in. And you're wanting it to work. You're wanting it to work, and you're banging your head against the wall. And he's not in it, right? What am I saying? Know what he wants. Know what he's saying. He wants to spare you from getting into wrong things. He wants to spare you from buying the wrong car, from getting involved in the wrong home, from getting wrong in the wrong relationship. He's there to help you. He's the all-knowing one. And so many people need to stop doing it their way and doing it his way. I want to give you an example of this. When I was younger, in my 20s, I was experiencing symptoms in my body. And the symptoms in my body, what could have been a result of those symptoms was pretty extreme on the chart of minor to major. It was either what I was experiencing was life-threatening symptoms, or the symptoms also could be absolutely nothing. Well, back then, you know, I was born again, and I didn't have insurance. And so I was already kind of hesitant to want to go to the doctor because of how much money that would cost. Can I just step on a soapbox real quick? When you make decisions based on money, it doesn't lead to anything good. Because the Bible doesn't say make decisions based on money. When you make decisions based on money, money's become your Lord. When I was at Rhema, this is how dumb I was back then, and how much faith I was in as in a faith school, you know. It was a trying time for me. Didn't have any help from family, went there, had to get a job, you know, was hardly meeting my needs. Winter came, and Tulsa, Oklahoma winters are not nice. They're nasty, they're bitter, they're cold, they're very windy. It's just a lot of open plains, and that wind just rips, and it's ice, a lot of ice, and things like that. They have really hot summers, but their winters could be nasty. And I didn't turn my heat on in my apartment because I was afraid that I couldn't pay my heating bill instead of having trust that he meets all my needs. So I went without heat, and my apartment would get down into the 50s, you know, and genius up here would take a hot shower before bed and then get out of the hot shower and go jump in my cold bed and go to sleep. And genius up here got so sick I came home at Christmas time and was unrecognizable. Had lost 25 pounds in the matter of 2 weeks, missed 2 weeks of Brother Hagin's Bible school because I was sick with a respiratory infection, an ear infection, a throat infection, you name it, I had it. I could hardly breathe. It was awful. I got so sick from being an idiot. But why did I make that decision? Based on fear. So now when I'm experiencing these things in my body, I don't have insurance. I know not to trust what money's telling me, but Lord, what are you saying? Because Father, if you tell me I need to get to a doctor, and that's another soapbox I need to hit, and I hit it last time, and I have a hook in my spirit to stop there. Listen, just because you're in a faith church, just because you believe faith, doesn't mean you shouldn't go to the doctor. Doesn't mean you should stop taking your medicine. Now, ultimately, being healed is better than surgery. But you better know that your faith and have a leading and a green light in your heart before you elect to not have the surgery. I know people, I'll just think of one person in particular. She was struggling major with anxiety, and she got put on anxiety medication, and she got a hold of the faith message. Well, she thought taking her medicine was out of faith. She threw her medicine away. And she got into a whole lot of problems and got hospitalized and had to learn, no, you don't throw your medicine away until you're ready to throw your medicine away. God's desire, his perfect plan, is for you to not take any medicine, to not have to go to the doctor, right? But when we do, we need to get our faith up to where it is to receive. You take your medicine in faith. You go to the doctor by faith. And so I knew a couple things, that if I don't go to the doctor because of money, I could really hurt myself. Because that's fear. That's not faith. Faith is, what are you saying, Lord? And if you say go to the doctor, I'll go to the doctor. So I prayed and sought God because I said, I don't have the money, but Lord, what do you want me to do? Remember when we needed a sprinkler system for this building? Well, see, I've learned some things over the years after taking a bunch of lumps. For those of you who think that you're not worthy, and for those of you who think you struggle with things you've done in your past, who gives a flutie-tootie about what you've done in your past? You're looking at a laundry list of mess-ups up here. But thank God the blood has covered them all. And the blood will cover all of yours. So I've taken lumps over the years, and when they told us we had to have a sprinkler system in this building, which was going to be getting up into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, it kept increasing and increasing and increasing, and the contractor said, it's ridiculous, this building doesn't need one. When the architect said, it's ridiculous, this building doesn't need one. When the code enforcement officer said, it's ridiculous, this building doesn't need one. But the people that make the laws and stuff that don't build the buildings, they say you need to have one. They're saying that. I'm like, I don't want to put one in here if we don't need it. But they're telling me I have to have it and there's no way out. So remember what I did? I went to the Lord because I didn't want to just assume, well, we're just going to believe that I have to do that. Lord, what are you saying? Do you want me to believe for the money, or do you want me to believe that something's going to change in that law? Because if he wants us to believe for the money, we'll believe for the hundreds of thousands of dollars. But I knew by the Spirit of God, nope, they're going to change that. You get in faith on that and believe. And they did change it in the 11th hour, praise God. They did change it. It was a miracle. They couldn't believe it. The contractor couldn't believe it, the code enforcement officer, and the architect. And I kept telling them, because they started the sprinkler system. If you go into our mechanical room, they started putting provisions in there. And I told them, stop doing the work, because I had inside information. I know we're not going to need that thing. And they kept calling me, we need to get this started. Just hold your horses. The Holy Ghost told me something else. I didn't tell them that. I said, just hold on. And then I keep calling. Do we still have to have that? Pastor Mike, we've told you, yes. Now, if the Lord would have said, yeah, believe for the money, that law is not going to change. Okay, let's believe for money. The important thing is to be in faith in what you're doing. Amen. Take your medicine by faith. Go to the doctor by faith. So I knew, I need to find out, do I need to go to the doctor? Well, I knew that I knew that I knew by the inward witness that the symptoms I was having was nothing. It was going to result in the non-serious part of these symptoms, and it was going to be nothing, and it would have been worthless to go to the doctor. But I made a mistake. Remember, I've made a lot of mistakes, you know. I started talking to the wrong people. And I started telling people about what was going on in my body. I was telling people that don't have renewed minds to faith, renewed minds to healing, that just take doctors' reports at face value, that just take the symptoms on Google and Wikipedia and all that at face value, as that's the way it's going to be. So I told them my symptoms, and oh, man, they started spouting in my ear, how you're going to die. You got to get that checked out. Don't hold on. The more you wait, the longer, the worse it's going to get. And I started listening. Be careful what you listen to. Why did Jesus say, take heed what you hear? Because your ears are your faith gates. Be careful who you tell your things to, who you tell your problems to, who you tell what's going on. You want to tell them to people that are going to pump faith into you, not fear and worry. Well, the worry and fear got into me, and like a dummy, I went through what the Holy Ghost was saying and went with my emotions and my flesh, went to the doctor, and guess what the doctor told me? The exact same thing the Holy Ghost already told me. It's nothing, but the tests I got, they wanted thousands of dollars for these things. And the Holy Ghost the whole time was what? Trying to spare me. Yeah. Well, how many times have people gotten into an endeavor, an adventure, and God's trying to bring them prosperity, but now they're paying for something that the Lord never talked to them about? They're in a job and in a business, not doing anything. And Lord was the whole time saying, that's not what I had for you. Right. Amen. But I want to talk to you in the little bit of time we have left here and finish up with an example of a situation of somebody in our churches that followed the Spirit and led to great, great increase. Do you want to hear it? It'll bless you. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 2, where it talks about the prophet Joel, where Peter's preaching, he said, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke. He said, in the last days, my spirit, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he talks about people having dreams and visions. We know those are New Testament things. Well, I've had a few visions, not a whole lot, not like Brother Hagin, but not even close. I've had a few spiritual dreams, and I don't have time to teach you what's a spiritual dream and what's not, but I'll just say the main two factors about a spiritual dream when you know it's God is, number one, it lines up with the Bible, and number two, you'll know it's from Him. If you have to wonder if it's God, it's not God. Trust me, you know when you know. And I had a dream when we were back over in the old sanctuary, which is now our fellowship hall, minding my own business, sleeping, and I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw something specific. I saw in the old sanctuary a couple in our church putting in a green envelope into the offering, which is the building envelope, building fund envelope. Well, what I knew by revelation in the dream that the Lord revealed to me in the dream, and I wouldn't have known this had He not given me revelation, was number one, that the offering they put in, because I didn't see what they wrote. I didn't see if it was cash or check. I just knew it was two things I knew was, number one, it was a substantial amount that they put in. The second thing that I was made aware of by the Holy Spirit was that the reason they were able to do that is because they obeyed God, and it led to increase. So it was either the next Wednesday or the Wednesday after that. I can't remember. It was close. We were having midweek service over there, and the word of the Lord came to me when I was preaching, and I knew I was to minister to this couple. Well, the Lord gave me the exact words to minister. I had not planned on ever telling them about the dream or anything. Why? I'm not going to be a magnet on their compass. I'm not going to lead them and say, hey, you're supposed to give some big offering to the church. That's manipulation tactics. Anytime something like that happens, you run away from that stuff. If someone tells you, well, the Holy Ghost told me you need to do this or that, if it don't line up with your spirit, you throw that out. Yeah. And a lot of times people have used those tactics to manipulate money-wise. And so I call them out. And this is what the Lord told me to say to them. I said, the Lord has been dealing with me about you in a supernatural way, which He was, a dream. I didn't tell Him how. I said, He's been dealing with me. And I said, and this is what I know, that if you'll obey Him, His voice, follow His leading, oh, the increase you'll walk into. The increase, you won't even be able to believe the increase you walk into. That's the dream I had. They're putting in a huge offering. And the only reason they could put that huge offering in is because they obeyed God. So the Holy Ghost had me to encourage them to what? Obey His voice. Because that means He's getting ready to talk to them about something. And maybe, just maybe, they might be tempted to not do what God's telling them to do. Now, to be led to put that in, that's not the obedience God was talking about. It's part of it to obey God in tithes and offerings. But to get the money, it came through the following of the Spirit, the increase, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. So I ministered that to him, said nothing about the dream, said nothing about seeing an offering. All I said was, God's dealing with me about you in a supernatural way, and it was through a dream, and that if you'll obey His voice, oh, the increase you'll walk into. Months and months go by. I'm not thinking about it, don't remember, don't know what's going on, you know, as far as, I don't know, you know, no substantial amount in the offering has come in, no big influx, so I don't know what's going on. I'm not even thinking about it. It's after church on Sunday, and we're done fellowshipping over in the fellowship hall, and I walk down the hallway, and Jeff's coming out of my old office, which is the usher's room over there, and You know, I've said this before. I don't look at the offering amounts. Don't want to know what you give. It's between you and God, right? But I do need to know the amounts of the total offering at the end because I have to pay the bills and things. So I asked Jeff. I said, just curious, at the end of the service, I said, what was the offering today? Now remember, we're not Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, in the old Houston Rockets Arena with thousands of people that come to our services. We're not a church of 1,000, so maybe this offering amount wouldn't move many people, but back then when you're a church of 30, and Jeff tells you, when you ask him what the offering was, and he tells you it was $101,000, it's pretty good. Raises your eyebrows a little bit. Well, I thought it was just, he's out in the hall right now. I just thought Jeff was being Jeff, goofing off with me. And I was like, it's the end of the day. I'm like, just tell me what the amount is. Stop. He said, Pastor, I'm telling you, it's $101,000. And he showed me the offering. And I saw that $101,000. I think, who added wrong? Who's messing with me here? Who carried the wrong numbers here and messed up, you know? $10,000, yeah, I get my head around that, you know. That's an uncommon offering, but $101,000? So I'm telling you, that's what it is. In that instant, up from my spirit, the Holy Ghost said, the dream came to pass today. Amen. And I said to Jeff, I said, I know who it was. I know who it was. I said, I had a dream about this. A substantial amount was going to come into the offering. I said, thumb through those offering envelopes. I'll tell you the couple that it was. And it was that couple. Yeah. He had a few guesses before. And he missed on all of them. I said, no, I know who it is. I already seen it in the dream. And he thumbed through and said, Pastor, how'd you know it? I told you I saw it in a dream. I had a dream and the Holy Ghost just told me the dream happened today. And it was those people. And I left here and drove right to their house to give them a hug. That I said, I didn't even say, well, I hope you thought you didn't look at the offering. I don't. The Holy Ghost told me. But I wanted to fill in the blanks to tell them my end of the story, to find out their end of the story. How in the world? Now, they didn't give, another big offering came in that day. They didn't give the full amount, but they gave $75,000. I want to be able to give $75,000 and still, like them, pay off every one of my debts and majorly sow into all my children's lives, because that's what happened in their life. Praise God. I want to be able to do that. And so I go to their house, tell me what happened. They said, well, Pastor Mike, this is the story. They said, when you called us up and ministered to us about obeying the voice of God, they said, you don't know the situation we were in. When you did that, we had just recently lost a bunch of money investing in the stock market, but doing it not at the leading of God, going by what the experts say, going by what the books say, just doing what would naturally look what's right. Well, sometimes, yes, we go by the natural in wisdom, but not when the Holy Ghost says different. Amen? And the Holy Ghost was not telling them to do that because they lost a significant amount of money in that. Well, when I called them up and said to them, if you'll obey the voice of God, it lit a fire in them. And they went to the Lord with two things, and this is a good heart to have. They said, number one, Lord, we want to be funders for the kingdom. If you start working for a giving instead of working for a living, you'll start seeing an increase. Oh, yeah, if God, I know these are fun little sayings, but they're true. If God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. It's the truth. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. And so they said, I want to be a funder, but Lord, from this point on, we are going to obey you in our money. We messed up and we lost a lot. We're going to obey you in our money. And they had heard that encouragement from me. Well, so they're seeking God. They're praying. Lord, what do you want us to do? We want to be a funder. What do you want us to do? If you really want to be used by God bad enough and you're willing, he'll use you. And the Holy Ghost said, put your money here. Well, naturally, guess what all the pros were saying? Don't you dare. Guess what accountants were saying? And stockbrokers and investment people. Don't put your money there. It's volatile. What the books were saying, don't do it. But guess what the Holy Ghost was saying? Do it. Well, they obeyed the Spirit, and they put it all in on what everyone else was saying not to do. And guess what? That sucker hit. Amen. So much so that they wrote a $75,000 to the check in the middle of a building program. Amen. Glory to God. And paid off every single one of their debts. Paid their home off, paid their vehicles off, paid their past, whatever, kids stuff off. Just, that's prosperity. And we ooh and all over that. We should. It's awesome. But you know what? They're just children of God. They're just kids. I like to bless Abby, but I also like to bless Caleb. God likes to bless that couple, but God also likes to bless you. And oh, what does he want to do with your life if you'll actually take him serious? And I really believe it first of all starts at consecration. To what? Whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you say, whatever you want me to do, Father, but we come with stipulations. Don't ask me to do this, and I'll do anything but. No, no, Lord, I'm yours. What do you want? What do they do? Lord, what do you want me to do with my money? What do you want us to do? And you know what's so cool about that after the increase? That they were faithful enough to obey the word and what the Spirit was saying to write that check and put it in. I see a lot of people are faithful. I could tell story after story of people that are faithful. They come into a financial gain, and then their mind starts talking because their tithe goes up. Because God starts speaking to them to give bigger offerings, and they grab onto that thing, pull back. And I've watched people go from up to down because they didn't obey God. They were willing, Lord, whatever. Are we that way? And then not only consecrating, but then being willing to learn how he does it and follow that leading. It's available to all of us. It might not be in the form of that way, stock market. It might be. It might be in the form of, I can tell you story after story of people that have some knowledge of some things, and the Holy Ghost brought to their attention, hey, buy this thing, and you can resell it for this much. I mean, if you're willing to hear from the Holy Ghost, he'll teach you how to get rich. Amen. Well, I'm stirred. Are you stirred? Oh, imagine what he wants to do, but most people know nothing of this life. Why? We just stay in our head, we stay in our mind, we stay in our calculators, we stay in our checkbook, we stay in our feelings, we stay in opinions. That's not where God is. We'll see what he leads us to next week. But I'll tell you what, we're blessed, aren't we? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We're so grateful, so thankful for the impartations, what we've learned. Father, you're endeavoring to increase us. We know it. You're good. You love us, but you have a way you do it. There's nothing we're going through that stumps you and is hard for you or confusing for you or you don't have the answer. You have the answer, but you're giving out answers a specific way. You're giving out answers by the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. And when specific answers of specific things can't be found in the Word, you're speaking to our spirit, and then you can find the principle in the Word that backs it up. But a lot of times people, Father, won't obey your Word, and they won't obey the Holy Ghost. They won't even take time to find out what the Holy Ghost is saying. Father, I pray that that would not be so for everyone in here and everyone watching, that we'd say, enough's enough. I have the inward witness. I have the all-knowing one on the inside of me, the one who loves me more than anything. And he wants to guide me and direct me, so I'm going to take this seriously. And I'm going to get out of some things and get into the right things. Father, thank you for your help this morning. Now, Father, we know this by the Word of God, that the only way a person can be led by the Spirit is to have the Spirit on the inside. And the only way the Spirit comes on the inside is after the new birth. We must be born again. We must receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's the greatest and most precious gift you've ever given us. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want everybody to ask themselves this question here this morning. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Do I know without a shadow of a doubt I go to heaven? Because when I ask myself that question, I know without a shadow of a doubt, yes, I'd go to heaven. You say, how do you know? Well, I just followed what the Word says. It wasn't about church attendance. It wasn't about good deeds outweighing bad deeds. It wasn't about, jumping through religious hoops. It's about what you did with Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you won't perish. The Word said in Romans 10:13, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus, the qualifications are you must believe in him and then want to receive him. With heads bowed, eyes closed, is there anyone that's never received Jesus and you want to receive Jesus? I won't embarrass you, won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive Jesus this morning? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands. So I trust that everyone here is walking in salvation. But if you're watching by live stream right now, and I can't see you, wasn't able to see you, raise your hand. You want to receive Jesus, all you simply do is cry out to Him. Just simply say, Lord, I believe in You. I believe You died. I believe You rose again. And ask Him to come into your heart. If you'll pray that, He'll do what He said He'll do. He'll become a father unto you. The Holy Ghost will come on the inside of you. And He'll guide you and direct you into your best life ever. Let's just lift our hands and praise Him this morning. We thank You, Lord. Just bless Him. Thank Him for Your help. We look to You. We don't look to a ministry. We don't look to a man. We look to heaven. Thank You, Father. Thank You for opening the doors back up for us, Father. We thank You. We're going to endeavor to follow You and be guided and directed by You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you leave, we're going to take up our offering. I know it's a little different. And I was looking at the time. My goodness. Normally, when we had regular 10 o'clock service, we don't get out of here till anyway. So not only did you get to sleep a half hour later, I mean, all those other people that picked the other services, what's wrong with them? You got to sleep in and still get out at the same time. So this is the time we take up our tithes and offerings. Go to Malachi chapter 3 with me. If you're visiting newer with us, please don't feel obligated to put anything in the bucket. We're just glad you're here. But let me remind you, as we take up the offering, the ushers are going to open the doors. There's going to be a chair on each entryway as you walk through the door with a bucket on it. You can set it in there. And then I'm asking you, please, 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 remember, we're trying to be a good witness to the community. Go drop it in and head to your car and please leave. We will get back to fellowship as soon as we can. If you do need prayer, please just hang by and stand by. We want to make sure we pray, believe God with you. But other than that, please go. We're not staying to socialize. I know that sounds harsh, but it's direct, strong leading in my heart, and I can't disobey it. So please jump on board with what we're doing here. But Malachi chapter 3, in verse 10, look at this. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. This is going to help you here. It says, that there may be meat in my house. So he tells us the storehouse is his house. And he says, I need meat in the house. Why? So there's provision in the house. I need finances for provision. I say this all the time. I tried to pay the electric bill with a smile. They tell me no every time. I mean, it just hasn't worked yet. And so they need provision. The house of God needs provision. Walmart needs provision. The restaurants need provision. The church needs provision. He says, I'm going to get my provision by having you bring tithes to the storehouse. But look at what God is saying. He says, prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that will be room enough to receive. So God's not trying to take from you. He's actually saying, I need you to do this so the windows can get open. See, a lot of your blessings are like that little bird that's flying and smacking the window. Flying and smacking the window. Flying and smacking the window. Well, what's happening? The window isn't open. The bird can fly through if the window's open. The Bible says your blessing being poured out is determined upon the window being open. Well, what's the garage door opener or the window opener for your window? It's the tithe. So many people have no idea the blessing that is supposed to be poured out on their life, but they never open the door of the window of the tithe. But I want to help you with that today. If you're in that category, say, I'm one of those. Look at what he says. Prove me now. You know what that word means in the Hebrew? It means to try him. You know what God is basically saying? Put me on trial with this. I dare you to put me on trial with the tithe and see what the verdict is. He says, I'm going to tell you what the verdict is. The verdict's going to be, I'm going to open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing. So much so, try it. Prove me. Now, we know that the criminal, the justice system sometimes doesn't work the way it should, but the way it's supposed to work is in a trial is to what? Get a verdict of innocence or guilt. It's to determine something, to shed light on something. And God says, put me on trial with this tithe. You that aren't tithing, I dare you to try it. I dare you to prove me. And he says, the verdict's going to be, I'm going to open the windows of heaven for you. Amen. And think of the people that never experience it because they never, ever put them on trial. Because they're more motivated by fear, and they listen to fear in their checkbook more than God. Oh. I had a woman years ago come up to me bawling her eyes out. She said, Pastor Mike, I've heard you talk about tithing so much I get sick of it. She said, but, she says, I have struggled and struggled and struggled not doing what the Bible says. And she said, you said one thing that really jumped out to me. She said, you said, what if the Bible's true? I mean, that'd be a thing, wouldn't it? What if God's word is real? What if that verse is actually true? If that verse is actually true, there ain't one person in here that doesn't want to do that. Because he says, I'm going to go over top of your tithe and bless you with things you can't receive, but yet people still don't tithe. Why? Why? They must not think the word's true. And she said, I just finally said, you know what? What if the word's true and that really works? That'd be pretty good. She said, so I started tithing. And within a few months, and then she started just weeping. She said, this started opening for me. This started opening for me. Well, that was supposed to be open the whole time. But it was the bird. Smack, smack, smack. And so many people will get to heaven and never walk into the blessings they have. Why? The windows were never opened. Because the tithe opens the windows. So I want to encourage you, get the windows open. Praise God. Let's hold our offerings up before the Lord, and let's believe God with me this morning. Father, we're so thankful to be able to sow into this church. Father, even if you never said we could have anything, even if you never said there was a return, but the church needed finances, Father, I would do it. I would provide for you with no hope of return. But Father, you said in your word, you would open the windows of heaven, increase would come. So Father, those that are faithful to do your word, I thank you for increase. Divine ideas, promotions, wisdom, and favor financially. Father, I thank you that all the needs of this church are met. We call our building paid off. Father, I thank you that all the needs, all the supplies, everything, we're fully funded, fully supplied. All the money, all the properties, all the buildings, all the equipment, and all the people that we need to do what you've called us to do here, it comes in abundance, and we lack nothing in Jesus' name. Father, we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, we'll see you Wednesday night. If not, we'll see you back here next week at your designated time. You are dismissed. The ushers will dismiss you. Praise